There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we drink it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards and having fun.
Hi, this is Dave Carr of Raging Cider and Mead in San Marcos, California.
Hi, this is Colin Campbell from Campbell's Orchards in Prince Edward County.
Hi, this is Barry Walsh of Killahore Orchards, makers of cider Johnny Fall Down, based in Killahore, Clontown, County Cork, Ireland.
This is Laura Everett of SoCal Cider, located in SoCal, California.
Hi, this is Andrew Schweinfurth. I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, this is Patricia Hoff, Domaine de Manoir de Montreuil, locataire in Normandy, Montreuil-en-Auge.
Hello, this is Anne Marie.
And I'm David Thornton.
We're from James Creek Cider House.
In Cameron, North Carolina, in the land of the pines.
And you're listening to
Cider Chat.
And this is episode 200. Hello out there in Ciderville. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am the host and the producer of this weekly cider podcast where we interview makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And if this is your first time tuning in to this here podcast, well, you are in for a super bonus because we're in a pretty big celebratory mood having just produced episode 200. Yes, 200 episodes of Cider Chat with no end in sight. And that's a good thing because that means one thing, which is
cider is going up.
Yes. Can I hear it a little louder, Mr. Quince?
Cider is going up.
Perfect, Mr. Quince. Yes, cider is going up around the world, and that's the theme of today's podcast. You heard from a number of makers and folks who have been on the podcast over the past 50 episodes in this season, number 4, which we are putting to close at the end of this episode today, and moving into season 5. That is going into the 5th year of Cider Chat, producing a weekly podcast. Holy smokeroli. Let's let the good times roll. Oh yeah, the wild yeasts are here just about every day, but certainly today. And if you are new to this podcast, well, what can I say? You know, it's just a good time here. You know, it's a party that never ends. You're welcome, highly encouraged to bring a glass, share a bottle, and have a good time because cider equals fun. Doesn't it, Perry Pear?
Indeed, it does, Rhea. Of course, you're saying a lot about cider, and I know that this podcast is about, or I should say called cider, but don't forget about pears, specifically Perry Pears.
You know we would never, ever forget about Perry Pears or the Medlars.
Thank you, Rhea. We're here too.
Yes, everybody is in the cider house. We have the Talking Palms, my tried and true friends who helped me so much to produce this podcast and to keep the good times rolling. We have Mr. Quince.
Hello.
And Perry Pear.
Hello, yes, indeed, I am Perry Pear.
And the Medlar.
Hello!
Individually, they are each a palm in their own right. Bring them all together, they are known as the Talking Palms. Our friends and cohorts who keep a bit of levity in the cider house.
Thank you, Mia.
You bet, Medlars. Thank you. And on this here episode number 200, we're going to begin with a little bit of news out and about in Ciderville, as always, and they'll be going to our featured conversation with a very special guest who will help me discuss a little bit of, well, the past 200 episodes, at least the past 50 or so, and what's been taking place in this season number 4, and looking forward to season 5 and 2020. Let's take a little break here, and we'll be right back.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the chickens. How does it go? I forget.
That was Joe from Portugal, who just sent in a clip of his version of We Like Cider. Obviously, he was riding in his car and took the time to do that. I had put a little bit of call out to folks a couple podcast episodes back saying, hey, you know, send in your own ditty of We Like Cider. And just because the 200th episode is out doesn't mean that you still can't do that. I would love to hear your own version. In fact, coming into this here, episode 200, you heard We Like Cider as sung by the folks who came on the second annual New England Cider Tour. We just had so much fun on the bus doing that. And, you know, geez, just an amazing time had by all. I love it. I love it. And really, that just kind of speaks to another piece that I can't go any further without talking about, which is the folks who support this here podcast. So a big tip of the glass to all the people who have sent in your well wishes, have followed Cider Chat on all the different social media outlets, at Cider Chat Ciderville on Instagram, at Cider Chat on Twitter, and on the Cider Chat Facebook page. That's just absolutely tremendous. And then also the folks who are patrons of this here podcast. In fact, there was a number of them that just came in, and I wanted to give a tip of the glass to the following folks. That is Joshua and Ken, Marcel and Jeff. And Marcel is from the Netherlands and wrote this kind of interesting email. So I'm going to give you a little snippet of it to give you a sense of, well, Marcel's experience with both Cider Chat and cider in a really beautiful country. Of course, I know if you've been listening for a while, you know that I have a big, big chunk of my heart in the Netherlands. And Marcel writes, thanks for the great work. I just reached episode 100 of Cider Chat and really want to tell you how it happened. After drinking cider for years, whenever I visited the UK, I tried to make my first batch of cider in a plastic bucket in the autumn of 2015. The process left me confused. In December, I put the cider in champagne bottles with a drop of honey in some bottles with some crushed sugar cones, and again, the confusing riddle went on. In April, I was looking at the bottles, not sure what to think of it. The sun was shining bright, and the little book said, it will taste the best in the next summer. Time to ask my wife, what do you think about the weather? The answer was, summer is here. So we opened the first bottle, looked in awe at the bubbles, tasted it, emptied it, opened the next, etc. It was delicious, and it swept me away. I was fascinated. The cider did not leave my head. I bought some books and started reading and more reading, discussing with my friends, etc. Time went on until in the summer, my uncle, who is a hobbyist winemaker, said, I'm going to quit winemaking and you can take all my stuff. I looked at him and replied, okay. I asked him what I should pay for it, and he said, it would make me angry, I guess, to take any money. So there I went, took in truckloads of carboys, vessels, materials, bottles, grape presses, etc., etc. Needless to say, I was hooked, and I started picking apples, bought some from a local grower, and thus the experiment had started. Since then, I went on this roller coaster ride of trying forced carbonation in kegs, losing the bubbles with filling, filling with a counter pressure, fillings losing some of the nice flavors, natural carbonation in kegs, and all these different things, resulting in great tasting cider with bad smell, awesome cider losing its awesomeness just by bottling, but also success. All in all, a great learning journey, with the conclusion that I was in desperate need of more information or help from someone with experience. Somewhere in the first half of 2019, I noticed the cider would not let me go and decided I wanted to be on this route to become a small-scale craft cider maker. But where do I find the experience? I do listen to some podcasts and even more audiobooks, so I started searching for more information on cider. And there it was, Cider Chat, in my pocket all this time. Needless to say, I had some catching up to do. It was the beginning of September this year, 2019, so I started with the podcast that you recorded in the Netherlands, where I live. After those, I took a deep breath and just started at the first episode, working my way up every chance I had. Almost every day, I run into the house at least once shouting about new things I learned in Ciderville. Today, I am happy to say I listened to podcast 100. Actually, as a little addendum, I know that Marcel is further along now, having written to me, because he is listening to it every day. It's amazing. And he continues with, thanks for loads of information, ideas, and motivation, and all that has come. And about the audiobooks, well, Audible will have to wait for a few more months. Thanks again, and see you in Ciderville. Dang, Marcel, that's pretty, you know, you're not alone. I first want to say that you're not alone. A lot of people have that experience. A lot of people are still discovering podcasts. So make sure that you check in with your friends who like to ferment and do things and let them know that there's a Cider podcast. So you don't have to be kind of like catching up now, because with 200 episodes, that's a lot of listening. And, you know, geez, this is fantastic. I love it. So thank you so much. Thank you for becoming a patron of Cider Chat, and keep up the good work. The Netherlands is a hot spot. There's a lot going on there and more to come from that country for sure. And there was also another new patron, and that is Jeff. He is a distiller at Sangfroid Distillery based in Maryland. Actually brought a single variety Grimes Golden Apple Brandy to the Calvados and Brandy, Apple Brandy tasting. That was the kickoff event at Cider Days. That was presented by Ambrosia Borowski and myself. And we had six tastings on the table, a cheese plate with crackers and grapes. It was just a super luxurious experience. And Ambrosia rocks, really kicked it out of the ballpark. I had an absolute delight. Highly recommend if you have somebody that you want to have talk on the topic, contact Ambrosia, who is a general manager at the Northman Cider Bar. And before I get too far away, I also want to give a big tip of the glass for these makers and producers who have been supporting Cider Chat via the Cider Going Up campaign over the past year. And that's NMR Process Analytics, John Edwards, based in Connecticut, Insider Japan, which produces an international bilingual Japanese and English magazine, all on Cider. You can get a subscription to that. Highly recommended. There's a link in the show notes to that. Ramborn Cider Company, based in Luxembourg, they just came out with an ice cider. It's called Meadow Orchard. And that ice cider is made with, well, cider apples, and definitely their namesake apple, Rambo apple, is in that ice cider too, called Meadow Orchard. Check it out. I hope it comes your way. They really make fantastic cider. They're the only cider company in Luxembourg, and what they're doing for that region, preserving trees, is amazing. It's not just for the apple trees, but also for the peri pears. And another amazing cidery that's been very, very supportive of Cider Chat, that is Ross on Wye Cider and Perry Company. They joined the Cider Going Up campaign a while ago, and I'm just a privilege to be connected with them, because Albert Johnson, who is the son of Mike Johnson, I had both of them on the podcast here and met him and his brother Martin. They got something going on there. So if you're in here for sure in that region, stop in at the U Tree Pub. It's in Ross on Wye. That's where all the Ross Cider is going to be. And they have a beautiful amount of variety, a lot of single varietal ciders and perries. You could just, geez, bring your sleeping bag, camp out, experience it. Start planning now for 2020, the Ross Cider Fest. Fantastic people. And I also want to give a big shout out to Santa Cruz Cider Company, who has been supporting Cider Chat all along. They now have an open tasting room right off of Route 1 in Santa Cruz County, smack in the middle of the Monterey Bay. So the Monterey Bay is like a half moon going up Route 1 along the course north of Big Sur, south of San Francisco. You got to go to Watsonville to meet them. Wonderful people. Big tip of the glass to them and all the folks who support this podcast through 4 seasons now, 200 episodes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's take a little pause here.
We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards and having fun. There's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this. Well, there's a reason why we drink it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this.
Bravo! Quite good. Quite good indeed.
Yes, I like that version very much.
I agree, Palms. That was really sweet, right? Catching the rhythm with the drums. And that came in from Laura, who's a patron of Cider Chat. And I also had a notification during Cider Days from, during the day, it came from a friend of Cider Chat who said they were up in the morning walking in the hotel and heard somebody singing somewhere in the hotel, "We Like Cider." So talk about a catchy tune or what. I love hearing that. I only wish it was recorded. That would have been really super cool. But, you know, I'll take it as it comes. And if you got a version, please send it my way. Send it to Rhea at CiderChat. That's spelled R-I-A at CiderChat.com. Next up, we're going to the featured chat, which was really sweet. You'll recognize his voice, I suspect, if you've been listening to Cider Chat like Marcel, starting at the beginning and coming forward. Of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about the past season, looking back, and what's coming up for Cider Chat in 2020.
Knock, knock. Anybody home?
Oh, no's. Come in by all means. Cheers. What are you carrying there?
Hi, Rhea. I actually brought some barrel-aged cider from last year. Can I pour you some?
Of course. Ooh, thank you. Ooh, thank you. Ooh, okay, that's good.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, hell, it's before noon, but who cares? It's the 200th episode.
It is the 200th episode. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Mm-hmm. Mmm. Oh, that barrel, it's still providing a bit of oak overture, you know, like that vanilla notes, and this was the one that was the batonnage, right?
I love that it got a little farmy.
You like that?
Compared to last year. I know, that's my palate these days.
That's like a big change for you, isn't it?
It is, actually. It is. I remember the very first time that actually it was you who introduced me to farm style, and I thought that I was licking a cow patty, and it was a little bit much for me.
But yum, yum, cow patty.
It grew on me pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it gives, when I have a cider that, like what you're talking about there, and for listeners who are you know, tuning in here and thinking, what do you mean? It's that farm, it's like you're walking into a barn and you smell it. And when I smell a cider that has that kind of farmyard, Brettanomyces is what, you know, I kind of refer to it more technically. Cider takes us to a place. Every single time, it takes me to that person first. If I get to meet those makers in person, the people that I'm drinking it with, or that building I've been in, the color of the sky.
That farm taste that we're talking about. That does that only exist when it's a wild ferment?
Some people actually add it to a cider. So it's not sometimes it's actually purposely put into the cider. And there's different yeast cultures that people could do that with.
Okay.
Which always kind of surprises me. It's just like, just let it wild ferment, you'll get something with that. And, you know, interesting, just on that wild ferment piece, with Cider Days now behind us, there was a lot of wild ferment at Cider Days, wasn't it?
Yes, there were, yeah.
Yeah. And I've also been hearing from makers that I know, not commercial makers, but just people just really enjoying making cider like myself, who are starting their batch of sweet cider, getting it ready to ferment, and they let the wild yeast hang out a little bit. They're not pitching any kind of sulfite. They're letting the wild yeast go and then pitching too. Super stoked to see that. It tells me that people aren't so afraid. There's more confidence in the air. And that is like a really growing what? That's a real growing
Not trend.
That's a really growing trend, thank you, of stylistically what people are doing. It's pretty neat.
Well, speaking of trends, that leads me to, you mentioned cider days.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm noticing when I'm going out and tasting cider around the world is that there does seem to be a wave or a trend that changes from year to year, and I wonder if you can speak to that a little bit. So my example of that is last year at Cider Days, there were at least 10 different ginger ciders. There was not one this year.
Not one?
And so I'm, you know, just
I'm sure
curious.
There was one.
I didn't find it.
Did you make it to every single table nose? I saw you were trying to make it to every single table.
Truly, yeah, I'm not necessarily, I'm not seeking ginger, for example, on purpose, but, you know, I did try some really great fruited ciders this year.
Was that Spoken Spy that you brought from Ron?
It was a beautiful surprise. The strawberry rhubarb. Yeah. I'm really, you know, I really loved fruit ciders at one time, and what I'm finding now because my palate has changed. Oftentimes, when I try a fruited cider, it's making me think of. It's just a little too medicinal for me. I don't care for how it's being carried. But Spoken Spy did do a fabulous job of their strawberry rhubarb. I thought it was a great palate changer. It would have been a great, like, in a little snifter in a 5-course meal, you know, changing the palate from each part of the each course of the meal would have been really great.
Agreed, yeah. And that is Spoken Spy, based in Middletown, Connecticut. Ron Cecilon, he's been a beer writer and a cider writer for a long time, so kudos to Ron for doing that. Would you say that was like a primary trend that we're really seeing this year at Cider Days?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah, the excitement was there. I'm thinking about Louie and Caroline, who are on the New England Cider Tour coming down from Canada. And, you know, when I was talking about the cider and cannabis workshop that took place at Cider Days, he's like, why would people do that? Why would they put anything into cider? And I was kind of like, yeah, you're right. Even though that was a really fun workshop. And they were handing out samples, by the way, too. But that's for future reference.
Well, I'm remembering there was a past episode where you and a guy had a good laugh about people putting coffee in cider, right? He's not alone in questioning that.
Yeah.
Why are people adding things to cider?
Because we can. Because we can, you know, and that's part of the exploration. But at the same time, right now, I think that new wave that I'm seeing across the board is as the palate of consumers develops, there is a trend, definite trend, going towards dry cider. And to really just want to know what that apple, even like a single varietal cider, like, you know, being in the UK and seeing the single varietal ciders coming out of Ross on Wye Cider and Perry Company, 87 different varieties, mainly because they're able to do so many single varietal ciders.
It's amazing.
And each one, and Perry's, you're like being blown out of the water there. And I like taking my time in that. That's a really fun thing. And I think that's going to catapult cider. I think that's going to catapult cider through the roof once that kind of like fever pitch desire to get into that increases. And I'm really feeling that, and it gives me so much hope.
Wouldn't you agree that that's already in the works? It's already happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt. At least that's what I'm hearing. And of course I hear from a lot of people around the world. So I think I have a pretty good sense, but maybe other folks might disagree, but I think not.
Well, here we are celebrating your 200th episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious what your thoughts are looking back.
Yeah. It's been a little daunting coming up to the 200th episode. I mean, 100 was a big deal. And what we've done on the podcast is put it into seasons. So each 50 episodes, we call that a season. So now we're, you know, closing season 4 and beginning season 5. So this is going into the 5th year of Cider Chat. And I've been kind of like nervous about doing this episode because it feels so big. Like I have to, I don't know, bring out the big band. And I'm sure maybe Mr. Quince will bring out big band or something first. you go, Mr. Quince. Thank you very much.
As a Quince, I'm rather partial to big band music. Happy 200th episode.
He always comes through that, Quince. He's perfect. Anyways, looking back, I really want to report that I am just feeling as high as a kite right now. And I just feel the connectivity with people. I feel the growth. I feel the momentum is there. You got to just keep the faith. And that's the one thing I've really, really learned in this process is just keep on believing in the palms. And also for commercial makers to believe in consumers, like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say that year at Cider Days, was it 2 years ago? It was all about hops.
Right.
You know, so fine, let it be. Let it find its way. And then the growth will happen. It's so exciting. I mean, this is just, it's just getting better.
It's a huge experiment for everyone.
Yeah. How awesome. Who you know, you don't often get to have that in one's lifetime. And here we are, right smack in the middle of it. So, so cool.
Well, that speaks a little bit to the whole cider going up.
Yeah.
Right?
Cider going up. It's kind of like the power of words. You keep on saying that. So many people love that phrase, cider going up. I also shorten it down to cider up. And that is kind of like my mantra, any kind of words that really bring forward the present moment of where you want to bring your thought. And that phrase, cider going up, is really important to me and to believe in that. I love that. You know, that really all started in 2016. When I was at CiderCon in Portland, Oregon, in the elevator.
Going up, going up, going up.
So that was from the elevator.
Right.
And I've been using it all along, and it just gets us in the jazz. You gotta believe. You gotta believe. I mean, that is just follow your bliss and believe, and it will happen. Build it and they will come, and it's happening.
Well, we've certainly seen that in the market. It has felt like it's been on the brink, and I think that I'm hearing more and more feedback from people saying that we've reached the brink. We're on it, yeah. And it's happening right now.
Yeah.
People are really seeing that.
I know folks watch like the Nielsen reports and all that, and they said, you know, well, the trajectory of cider back, you know, 4 years ago was like really, really hitting growth. But there, you know, growth comes in so many different ways. And I think what doesn't often get revealed in like a Nielsen marketing survey, and they're the reporters in like U.S. based, it's just the everyday consumer. And I feel that's who I really get to talk to a lot, whether it's at a festival or just the emails that come in so often, many that I can't keep up with. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it is a really exciting time. As you've come up to your 200th episode, what have you learned about interviewing people?
Interviewing people. Sometimes I feel like I'm hanging out more with the talking palms than people.
I think you are.
That's true.
I think you are.
That's true. I spend a lot of time with talking palms. Interviewing. I have learned a bit. I don't feel like I'm an expert by any means, but it is a fun skill to develop. And it sometimes pains me to listen to myself. I'm like, Ria, will you just be quiet and let that person talk? But at the same time, it is called Cider Chat. And one thing that's kind of changed for me is I do feel I'm finding my voice and speaking up. I know I focus quite a bit on the positivity because that's where my pendulum always swings to. But I also feel like I'm getting a bit more courage to talk about when I see injustice or something that just doesn't slide. And I think the listeners, Ciderville wants that.
You're keeping it real.
I'm trying to keep it real, you know. I don't want to pretend. I don't feel like I'm an expert. I mean, learning in this process. I mean, the interviewing is exciting. It's the reason why I continue doing this is because I continue learning and get to speak to so many amazing people, whether they're really a famous cider maker or a really cool person that stops me and says, hey, Ria, you know, I met you, or they have a question. I love that. I absolutely love that.
Well, that leads me to my next question, which is, how are you feeling about the growth of Cider Chat, and what does that look like for you? What does that mean?
It is growing. Cider Chat's growing, and I feel
like it was very good this summer to go every other week. I needed that break just to keep my head clear, because producing a weekly podcast is a lot of work. It's a new release, a new vintage every single week coming out, and on a very always a very diverse, every week is a different kind of topic or a different person. And I want to do justice to that and keep it quality. Because I know in Ciderville, people are all about quality, right?
They yeah, are. Absolutely.
It's a discerning public. So the growth of Cider Chat is phenomenal. It's wonderful seeing so many people who are supporting Cider Chat via the Patreon page. I really feel that that has... I'm moving up to a certain goal point, a monthly goal point, so that I could actually... My goal is to bring more people on to help me. And that in turn will allow me to produce more for Ciderville, and also to maybe bring in that video component. That's really one of my goals. I go to these phenomenal places around the world. I have the audio. I would really like to bring in more video. So that takes money, you know?
Right.
And so at this point, I'm feeling I have a little bit more room to breathe. Not so anxious in that way, but we're still a long way to go, and that's been phenomenal. And just the listenership is just blowing me away. It's changed.
You're hearing your reach has really expanded globally, even more than it already was.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been worldwide. The majority of listeners are still based in the U.S. That's just because podcasts are more well known in the U.S. But as a podcast reach itself as a app, as a something people realize they could use. I also recently, you know, had a new patron from Russia, Maxim, and to have a conversation with him and find out what's going on behind, you know, the doors that we see on the news every day, and just get back to like people to people. I love how the Apple has connected us and just broken down those country barriers.
And sidestepping politics.
I know. You know, and he and the fellow cider makers in Russia are dealing with the same woes that makers do all around the world. And I think that's good for somebody like himself and somebody here in the U.S. or in Mexico to hear.
It's constantly increasing connectivity.
Connectivity, you're not alone. I think that's what I love. I feel like I'm always alone, you know, kind of recording my podcast, except for, you know, me and the Talking Palms and, you know, when I'm doing an actual interview. But actually producing it, it's a little lonely. So I know that as a podcaster, and that I feel allows me to connect a little bit more with the cider makers who are working their tails off, you know, just trying to survive. So I feel we're all kind of helping each other now, and there's more a sense of that on when you help the media who promotes the cider, then in turn, cider gets more well-known. It's just like a no-brainer.
You're all part of the same family.
I know. It's really awesome. So I'm feeling very positive about that. I love that piece.
I'm curious, is there any real takeaway that you've had over the past 4 years? If you could sum that up.
I think there's a couple. You know, one we already mentioned, that cider is definitely going up. And I believe that with my heart and soul. I feel super great about that. I'm also seeing terroir. And I feel that terroir has been there all along, and people are finally embracing and talking about that. When I first started the podcast, I was talking about terroir. And now, like on the cider tour that just happened in New England, everybody was coming and saying, oh, you know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, or I'm from Canada, and I'm really curious to see what New England ciders taste like. And then once they start tasting it, they're like, wow, this is really, really different. And some of those same folks who are on the tour, you know, I've repeat people coming back, you know, went on the Normandy tour, and then they went on the Monterey Bay tour in California, or on the New England tour. So great to see all these friends. What I'm hearing is that their palate is really, really developing. Now they're becoming a discerning consumer. And they're able to say, oh, that is a good French cider, or, nah, you know, you're not 100% there, like at that top upper echelon. And they're able to really
speak that truth.
I was hearing people being able to zero in on whether it was a Pacific Northwest cider or a Michigan cider or a New England cider.
Exactly. How fantastic is that? I mean, you have an English cider from the UK. It's going to stand out. And now that was one thing I've been able to do over these past 4 years is to travel to so many places. I think people think I travel more than I actually do. I just, when I travel, I really get a concerted amount of episodes there. It was like 24-hour days of recording. But you, for me, I see that, you know, like a cider from the Basque region or Asturias or Normandy or Brittany. They're all really unique. And I sense that the public is getting that. And that's been, you know, kind of lost. It's just been, oh, let's just drink cider. You know, oh, this is cool. This is a new craze. Like, you know, what's happening with it? But they didn't really get that, the full connection to the land. And I think that's still coming a little slowly. You know, people are getting out into the orchards more.
I've spoken with some cider makers about that as far as price point. Uh-huh. You know, people are looking at a bottle of cider and saying, you know, why am I spending $14 to $18 on a bottle of cider as opposed to a $10 bottle of wine or even a
whatever price point.
Right. I mean, but it's like, you know, if you go to a potter and they've done something by hand and they're creating this. It's a lot of work to make that bottle of cider.
Mm-hmm. To make it be quality, yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point there. I think there's been a lot of bottles sold at a high price point that weren't good.
Hmm.
I think that's still a problem. So the consumers are rightly so able to be kind of ticked off at that.
And questioning it.
I mean, I still get bottles that's like, Sacre Bleu, this is not good. This is not good. I'm sorry. It happens. And maybe people just have to sell it because they don't want to lose their shirt, of course. It's a big risk making a farm-to-table product in that way. But on the flip side, we're seeing more bottles that are really worth the money that's being asked for. And that's just like, that's the truth. That's the straight-up truth. And I think any commercial maker worth their weight in salt or gold would have to agree. You know, consumers aren't stupid. Mm-hmm. They want quality product.
How does a consumer know that they're buying a quality product if it's now coming in a can?
Well, cans are sexy too.
I know they're a lot easier to take out on a boat or if you're traveling and so on. And I know that there's some really awesome ciders that are coming in cans now.
Absolutely. It's a way.
And you don't feel like that doesn't affect the quality of the cider at all.
No, in fact, some people feel it improves the quality because it's more tightly sealed against any kind of oxygen intrusion. And look, everybody's canning. Wineries are canning. I mean, Randall Graham, he's canning his wine. Craft beers has been canned forever. And each of those two markets have really pushed against the can movement, but not everybody's embracing it. I mean, it's also part of just the global market and commerce. You got to be able to get the product to people and deal with it. And certainly for tours, you know, it makes it really easy for a person to grab that.
Absolutely.
There's still like, you know, tried and true. It's interesting where I'm seeing long-term makers in France going to smaller bottle formats for their tourists. I'm seeing Americans sticking to their large format bottles. A lot of orchard-based ciders, not all of them, but some regionally, who are just going to like do their 750ml bottles. And the truth is, from my viewpoint, you got to diversify. You know, it's great if you're going to be selling that to somebody where they're able to pick it up at their local store across the country. But if you're flying into a region to taste and you want people to be able to bring product home and spread the word, you can't pack that many large format bottles in a bag. Mm-hmm. You can't. And so it's just, it's a reality of the business and the climate. But cans, I think, are great. It just gives us another format. And also the Bagdum.
Bagdum.
Yeah.
that is something that, you know, Farnham Hill's doing now. That's great. I got a bag from them when a Bagnum. It's a little, for folks who don't know what we're talking about, it's, how would you describe the Bagnum? It's a hermetically sealed.
Yeah, it reminds me of a wine bag, right? I mean, yeah. It's like a wine in a box. It has the bag inside the box, right? Yeah. So there's no oxidization.
Yeah,
and it lasts much longer than if you were to open a bottle or obviously a can.
Right, right, and it flies well.
And it flies well.
Yeah, you could tuck that in. So do Bagnums; they're awesome. You know, I know this is all gets back to another factor, and Ciderville is very conscious about the climate change, the environment. At the end of the day, I try to live the best life I can, paying attention to the earth and how I reduce, reuse, recycle. And, you know, if we use that wisely, I think we could be hitting it in all 8 cylinders and still be happy.
Sure.
There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we drink it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we do it like this.
So we've covered the past.
Mm-hmm. You want to go to the future?
Well, I think we have to start presently, right?
Presently.
The future is the present.
It is.
We are presently moving forward.
You know, we're talking right now in 2019, but I almost just said 2020 because my mind is so focused on 2020. There's so much going on. But just to kind of clear out the rest of this year and begin season 5, after this episode, I'm going to be rolling out a whole bunch of Finger Lakes Cider Week episodes that I recorded there.
Right.
That was a fantastic time that I spent thanks to Visit Ithaca and the makers there.
And can you tell me a little bit about how that happened?
That was a fam tour. I just want to mention these ciders because they all help sponsor Cider Chat to get there via Visit Ithaca.
She missed it, didn't she, Mr. Quince?
Yes, she did. Take it away, Perry.
Indeed, I will. The following cideries help support Rhea going to the Finger Lakes, and that is Redbird Cider House, Black Diamond Cider, Bellwether Hard Cider and Wine, Finger Lakes Cider House and Kite and String, and South Hill Cider. I met quite a few pairs in that region. I expect I'll be returning soon.
Perry, let's go back to the main conversation with the nose.
Take it away, Mr. Quince.
They all, along with Visit Ithaca, sponsored me and did what is called the Fam Tour, which allows somebody like myself who is able to produce content to go out into the world and do a media tour, but also get paid. Because, like a cider maker, it sounds great to travel a week away. A lot of people think that, you know, go on a media tour, go away for a week and, you know, have your expenses paid, which is great. But for a podcaster like myself, I also have to survive. And so that's a week away from making any money. So they were able to sponsor and bring me out there and then are helping me to produce through that sponsorship some amazing conversations with these makers. I mean, really phenomenal things going out there in the Finger Lakes. And so that's happening. And there's a number of fam tours in the works. So that is a growing thing that I'm really looking forward to in 2020. Another sign that cider is going up.
And if I understand this right, if yeah. you are able to include video on a fan tour,
fam means familiarization. It's like a lingo trade word, yeah.
So, if you were able to include video on a fam tour, for example, then you would actually really be stepping into becoming the next Anthony Bourdain of the cider world, but hopefully a healthier and happier version.
Oh my goodness. Hey, we don't want to crash on Anthony, do we? I don't know. I think I'm kind of like Cider Delilah. Cider Delilah.
Well, you have mashed up a few cider makers
with, right?
You are a bit of an influencer and a matchmaker that way.
Well, thank you for that. My most favorite thing is I feel if... I don't know how to talk about this. I feel super positive, but like the cider tour in Normandy, we had our dear ones, Anders and Akina. They had signed up for the cider tour to Normandy. At that time, there was no baby being expected. Once they signed up for the tour, all of a sudden, a pregnancy. So Akina came on the tour and had a great time, despite that she was expecting. And she actually came on, Anders and Akina came on the New England Cider Tour with Lucy, and it was so cute, unbelievable. And then I find out that our dear friends, Louie and Caroline, up in Canada, tell me the same thing happened to them. They signed up for the New England Cider Tour.
So be careful if you sign up.
Look, this is how I see. This is another sign of cider going up, because people sign up for a cider tour and they're just happy. And when you're happy, well, love happens. So... Cider,
you're all forewarned.
That's not a warning. That's a good blessing on your house. You know, hey, I don't know. Can you write that? That's almost, you know, like an apple that keeps a doctor away.
I just know that you had everybody in stitches on the New England Cider Tour when you picked up the mic and you were doing your Delilah moment. The entire bus lost it. Really?
That was so much fun on the New England Cider Tour.
It was really awesome. Just curious, do you remember how many tastings we actually had at the cider luncheon? Because...
A
Fable
lot.
Had at least four.
Did they? No. Did they? Oh my god. Okay.
I think that they had four.
You might have been like hanging out with Christopher and John, and unbeknownst. I don't know. Of course, I was pouring a lot of cider, having a blast doing that, because nothing gives me more pleasure than pouring people a glass of cider. We had Tin Hat, and then, oh my gosh. At the last moment, I look around the corner and there's Eleanor Leger from Eden Specialty Ciders. That blew me out of the water because I didn't think she was going to show up. And she was there with us too at lunch.
And Sebastian.
And Sebastian, of course, of Flag Hill, no doubt. And I will say Steve Wood and his team at Farnham Hill, what a fantastic little tour there. I mean, people wanted to stay there all day and just listen to him. And he's such a cutie pie. You just pinch his little cheeks there, that Steve Wood.
He might let you. No one else. No, but you.
Let me. I don't think he would. Yeah, and then hanging out with the girls at Silo. Hoo-woo. Erin Bell. She is something. She is a really cool distiller. And Nicole LeBon. She is so awesome. That was fun.
It was really fabulous. Their distillery was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I know. It really was. So, I don't know, we kind of went off the track, but I'm going to do more cider tours. So that's really what I should say is the first cider tour I'm doing in 2020 is actually at CiderCon. I'm going to be doing a smaller version of the Monterey Bay cider tour that I did in April. I got to have some more cider here.
So we have, rolling forward with more episodes, we have Fam Tours. We have CiderCon, which you're attending, as well as
I'll
hosting
be recording.
The tour of.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What else am I doing there? Oh, here's a couple big news things. So, Marie Tanuka in Japan is going to be using Cider Chat episodes, where she is going to be translating them into Japanese and posting on her blog. So that should be rolling out sooner than later. So if you're from Japan or you know somebody in Japan who might have difficulty listening to a full hour of me speaking in English or with a guest, that can be tough when you're not a native English speaker. I get it. So Marie's going to be doing that. That's really exciting. I just love that. That will provide access to all the featured makers and conversations and people on Cider Chat. And then the other big thing that's going to be happening. Well, before I go to that other big thing, I just want to say about the tours.
Mm-hmm.
People should start contacting me now for the tours in 2020. And this is what we're looking at. I'm going to be doing the 3rd Annual New England Cider Tour again in 2020. That'll be kicking off to Cider Days next year. And people are already saying, put me on the bus. So
guests
that want to go. So
no, hop on the bus, guests.
Oh, okay. Got to make some plans, Stan.
That's right.
Don't be late. So contact me now about that. And then also, a lot of folks are asking me about a UK cider tour. And so I am seriously considering that. If you would like to go to the UK, let me know, because I need a certain complement of people to be able to make that viable. And I would say that, you know, let me know that sooner than later. You know, even if you have an inkling, Rhea, I'd like to go to the UK, and like some of the stops you'd like to make, let me know that between now and the end of this year. Okay? And so I'll be planning that as I'm rolling forward. And then also Normandy, of course. Looking at it again, a lot of people want to go to Normandy, France, and we might even extend into Brittany. So
that's a fall tour.
Both of those would be a fall tour as far as I know right now, but it could be the UK tour, could be in the spring. But I do like going to taste the pears and apples. You got to do that in the fall. It's just when that happens. So please let me know that. So that's a big thing, tours. If you want to go, there's nothing better than getting educated and having a ton of fun. We have a ton of fun.
There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we drink it like this, ba-da-da-da. There's a reason why we do it like this, ba-da-da-da.
Then the other really big thing that I'd like to announce right now is that there is a whole bunch of Cider Chat swag for sale as of today. And for those of you who are listening today, I'll talk a little bit more about this at the end of the podcast, because Nose, I think you're going to have to be rolling out of here soon, right?
I am.
Yeah. But anyways, you should know there's cider swag going out the door. It's going to be on the Tee Public website. It's actually live there now. I'm going to have a link in the show notes, but you just look up, like, Google Cider Chat Tee Public, or go to ciderchat.com and find the link. And geez, this is a great way, one, to really help promote cider. This is, I've got some fun Cider Equals Fun t-shirts going out. Cider Going Up t-shirts.
Cider Up.
Cider Up.
Hashtag Cider Up.
Hashtag Up. And Cider Chat. You know, it's a fun logo. And these are for you to think about, like, you might want for yourself. So put, like, a little post-it note up somewhere. Let people know what you like for your holiday gift. Or for your cider friends. It's a great holiday gift that keeps on giving. It also really supports Cider Chat. It's one of the ways that I kind of am just trying every channel possible to keep Cider Chat on board. And so it does, you know, it's an affiliate program. It really helps out a lot. And it allows me to put out this fun artwork. And these words that have helped me all these years, like cider going up and keeping that as my mantra, or more as of late, just saying cider equals fun, that has helped me a lot. I just want to say that, you know, that slogan, Cider Equals Fun, came out of the fact that over the years I always ask, you know, how do you describe cider? And there's always like a pause. There is still a pause. And people say, well, cider is wine. Or, you know, cider is this or cider is that. And I just felt that there was something really missing that really, to me, sets cider apart from beer and wine. And it's just that. Cider is fun. We don't want to have to think a lot. We just want to have freaking fun. Kick back a cider, whether it's a modern cider, a heirloom cider, whatever. The sky's the limit. Just have fun.
Cheers to that. Bubbles up.
Thanks, Nose.
Well, Rhea, I'm so glad to have gotten this little catch up with you and cover the 200th episode. It's an honor to be here with you. And I actually have to head out because I have a little holiday shopping of my own to do.
Are you going online?
I am. I'm going to go online right to Tee Public and order some swag for the holidays for my friends. And
awesome. Thank you. Thank you for coming by. Thanks for all your support for Cider Chat.
My pleasure.
Till next time.
We like dancing in the streets. Come on, people. All right, you don't like dancing in the streets? You know? It's okay. You don't have to dance. Don't dance in the street. I was so struggling with that.
No, we're in the orchard.
I saw you guys dancing today. Okay, you can say, we're going to try it again. Dancing through the street. So it goes, We like walking in the orchards. We like dancing through the streets. We like smelling all the blossoms. We like kicking up our feet. Oh yeah, we like cider. We like palms. We like orchards. Having fun. There's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we drink it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this.
There is a reason why we do it like this. It's because we like cider, and that's really all that counts. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation with the Nose, stopping in at the Cider House and giving us an opportunity to have a sit down and for me to reflect back and look forward. So there is a lot to look forward to, and my heart is filled. Thank you so much for being a part of my community out there in the virtual world. And when I get to meet you in person, geez, that's just spontaneous combustion happens, right? All right. Well, I think enough is said. I'm going to be rolling out of here. Once again, until next time. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up, going up, going up, going up, going up.
Hi, this is John Martinelli of S. Martinelli & Company, located in Watsonville, California.
Hi, this is Simon Day of Once Upon a Tree Cider and Perry. We're located in Ledbury in Herefordshire in Great Britain.
And your name is?
Erin Bell. I'm the head distiller and production manager at Silo Distillery.
I'm Nicole Legrand-Lebon, and I'm the cider maker and assistant distiller at Silo Distillery.
Hi, this is Barney Butterfield of Sandford Orchards, located in Devon, England, in the southwest of England, the cider-making heartlands.
Hello, this is Elizabeth Pimlet from the Museum of Cider in Hereford in England.
My name's Gabe Cook. I am the ciderologist, and I'm from a little village called Dimmock in Gloucestershire.
Hello, this is Deborah Cooper. I'm the Digital and Special Collections Librarian at Mann Library at Cornell University, located in Ithaca, New York.
Oh, my full name?
Yes.
Yeah, John Michael Leslie Edwards.
That's a pretty darn good name.
Thank you very much.
You have a cider brand called Fly Bee Night.
Yeah.
Real cider.
Indeed, yes.
Is it the Fly Bee Night, or?
It could be. It varies a bit.
Hello, this is Greg Peck from Cornell University, located in Ithaca, New York.
Hello, this is Bill Barton from Bellwether Hard Cider and Wine Cellars. We're located in the Finger Lakes of New York State in the U.S.
Hi, this is Carol B. Hillman of New Salem Hard Cider, located in New Salem, Massachusetts. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
Yeehaw!